Now, we went through the 9-point death meditation last time, you know, understanding how death is definite, it's certain, it happens to everybody, and it's something that we're constantly approaching. And then we talked about how death is, the time of death is uncertain, there's no fixed lifespan in our world, okay? And we're always going to be in the middle of doing something when we die, so that's no excuse. You know, I'm busy, I can't die now, come back later. And then we talked about, you know, how at the time of death, what's really important is the Dharma practice. In other words, our own mental attitudes, how we've been able to transform our mind into the nature of loving kindness and wisdom. You know, that's really valuable when we die, and also the karmic imprints, the imprints from all the constructive actions we've done are very important when we die, because those are going to be the things that influence what happens to us at death and during the intermediate stage and after that. Now, another way to meditate on death is to imagine our own death. And this is a very beneficial meditation. Yeah? If you find it difficult to imagine your own death, you might even start thinking about the death of people that you care a great deal about. This isn't being morbid. It's not like by thinking that these people will die, we're not wishing them dead. But we're trying to be realistic. So especially if there's people we're very attached to, I think it's really helpful to our mind to imagine, you know, to recognize that they're going to die and to imagine them dying and imagine them being dead. Because sometime or another they will be, and if we've thought about it beforehand and looked at our emotional reactions, you know, and worked through some of those attachment issues or jealousy or anger issues, then when the person does die, we're going to be able to handle it. Okay. And also, especially when we're in very close relationships with people and we think about the fact that they might die or we might die, it might also help us really relate to that person in a much healthier way, because we'll recognize that some of the games and trips we get into really aren't worthwhile. Yeah, they're really a waste of time. Yeah, so it might help us, in fact, actually open up to the people and say what in our heart we want to say. And it might help us also recognize how important it is to forgive people who have harmed us, because someday we're going to die and we don't want to go out with all that anger. And it may help us also recognize the need to apologize to some of the people we've harmed, similarly, because we're going to die, and also they're going to die. And so if apologies need to be said, or if we need to forgive somebody who's apologized to us, thinking about their death and about our death can really help us overcome the pride that impedes apologizing and forgiving. So it helps us, I think, remembering this, you know, imagining ourselves dead or the other people dead. It helps us keep our relationships with people very clean. Yeah, we don't tend to stockpile all kinds of twisted emotions, because we see that any of us could die at any moment. So what's the use of having this whole storehouse of confused, conflicting emotions and mixed up communication? Communicating? Makes sense, doesn't it? And considering that, you know, unless we die first, we will be around when the people we care about die. If we can be mentally prepared for that, then we'll be in the situation of being able to help them when they're dying. if we aren't mentally prepared for their death, when they're dying, we're going to freak out, and we're going to be the one at their bedside crying, saying, I can't live without you, don't die. You know, like I was saying last time, you know, when we're dying, that's the last thing we want, is to have somebody around our bed carrying around when we're trying to die. Well, unless we really, you know, get some mental stability about the death of the people we're close to, we're going to be acting like that when they die. And if we do, it's going to be completely counterproductive, because if it's somebody we care about, we want to be able to help them when they're dying, not hinder them. So if we can kind of, you know, think about other people's death, get our own emotions, like, level and stable, give up some of the attachment and the clinging, or the anger and the resentment, then, you know, when that person's dying, we can really be with them, because we won't be all tangled up in our own emotional mishmash, and we'll be able to, you know, see where they're at and help them through the death process. And then when they die, you know, we'll be in some mental state to do some prayers for them, and we'll also be able to help all the other people around who are falling apart. Yeah. So in that light, I think it's helpful, you know, think about the people we're close to being dead, yeah, or dying or whatever. And then also it's important to think about ourselves and imagine our own death. Okay. Again, because it's going to happen if it's something that we've thought about and we've rehearsed in our mind, it's going to be much easier than if, you know, we go in cold. Okay? That's not to say that we're necessarily going to die in the same way we imagine it in our meditation. But just the fact of imagining it in our meditation will help us prepare, and it will also help us cut a lot of the attachments in our life. Okay? And by cutting attachment, actually that leaves us more open to enjoy our life. Okay? Because when we're attached, we have a lot of fear of losing what it is that we're attached to. If we cut the attachment, we can still be with the person, still be with the object, but there's not this clinging fear that it's going to disappear, because we recognize it's going to disappear. And when our mind is relaxed about that, our mind accepts. So, in imagining our own death, we can do this meditation many times, making up different scenarios. Yeah. So you can, let's say, for example, imagine yourself getting cancer. And hearing that we have cancer. And then begin to think that, well, if I know I'm going to die, what do I need to get cleaned up in my life? Yeah. Okay, so what emotions do I want to work out? What relationships do I want to clear up? What possessions do I want to give away? Okay, and to help us begin to loosen the grasping on all these things. Okay? And then you can, in your meditation, you know, imagine just, you know, dying of cancer. And go actually, let's say, to the very day of your death in your meditation and imagine, you know, your body losing strength. Or you can imagine your body losing strength all along in the whole process. Yeah, but especially towards the end. You know, losing strength, can't get out of bed. Yeah. And then really look and see, you know, is there anything in my life that I have remorse over? Because if you play this video now, you know, like I'm going to die soon, what do I have remorse over? Then, you know, after we end the meditation session, or even in the meditation session, we can start to do something to counteract the remorse and the regret. So if we see that, you know, here I am visualizing, I'm dying of cancer, and I think back on some of the things that I've done in my life, and I have a lot of regret and remorse. So then, you know, we get some energy to do purification practice, for example. Yeah. Or we get some energy to forgive somebody, or to apologize. or we get some energy just to give things away that we definitely don't need. And imagine even when you're dying, giving away the things that you do need now. I mean, it's so, we're so, we have so much wealth in America that let alone give away the things we do need, we can't even give away the things we don't need. Yeah? And our houses are just stuffed with junk. And yet we can't bring ourselves to give it away. So this kind of meditation is at least going to get us going on giving away the things we don't need, and then at least imagining giving away the things that we do need.